Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. She's the infidel your imam warned you about, and there's no holding her back as she shares her opinions, insights, information, and outrage discussing the political entity known as Islam. We are at a critical juncture in our history, and if the threat of Islam is not faced up front, right now, then we will lose the freedoms of individuality, civic justice, and autonomy of thought we rightly enjoy, and instead see our values replaced with kinetic and civilizational jihad, Sharia law, and oppression permanently. Don't let the memory of our soldiers, past and present, go in vain. It is up to us to protect the legacy for which they fought so hard. We have an obligation to honor their memory today and for future generations. Join Kel Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. But leave your political correctness well away from her phone lines and chat room. And be warned, Kel takes no prisoners.
GoDamnMedia.com.
Changes. We are justified in doing anything we can to survive.
And yeah, I think we are. It's coming down to the wire with it, folks, because I'm getting a little fed up with this jihad business. I'm really getting tired of it. Oh, and hello, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. Okay, back to business. I'm just so tired of reading these damned stories all the time. It's bad enough that we have the kinetic jihad going on over there in the Middle East. If they want to fight amongst themselves, the Shia, the Sunni, okay, fine, go for it and let Allah settle it. But when they start coming over here and they congregate and they start exporting jihadists on our behalf, as it were, I have a bit of a problem with that. This show is going to be very, very loaded with my outrage because I've had it. Like, the glove have got to come off. I'm reading these stories each and every day, and I'm reading these accounts of what's going on, and I'm sick of it. And we are allowing this to happen in the West. Now, we are dealing with the lesser jihad. Where is the greater jihad to rein it in? It's not there. It's not happening. And I'm just so furious about this. I was having a conversation with my friend Jan England, and she is the RO of the Christian Defense League. She brought this to my attention, and I thought, well, you know what? This would be a very, very good topic to address tonight because, you know, it's here. I specifically want to address what's going on in Canada and why are the Mounties asleep on the job? Why are we not doing our jobs here? And CSIS, and that is the Security Council, that's more or less like the American equivalent of the CIA in that we surreptitiously track these infiltrators within our institutions. Well, CSIS has fallen asleep, and so has the RCMP. Now, if you go up and you look at the show slides I put in there, you're going to see a photo of a Barbie. Yeah, a Barbie doll dressed up as an RCMP. This is what we're turning into. We're turning into a joke because we are not protecting our borders. We are not protecting our citizens. We are letting everything go. God, it just disgusts me. So I want to share something with you, though. After I say hello. And it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what I say because nobody here, well, you guys here listen to me. But CSIS and the RCMP, they're not going to listen to me. And you can bet that David Cameron of Britain, he's not going to listen to me either. There is only one thing I can do is bring it to your attention. I want to share with you this. This is coming out, like I say, out of Canada. Canada and growing Islamic radicalization. There is a man who calls himself Abu Muslim, and he sits with his fellow fighters and his members of the group Katiba al-Muhajirin and raises his rifle for the camera. He has come to Aleppo to fight. He tells the man who has come to interview him for Britain's Channel 4. He is a Muslim convert, and he, like some 100 others, are joining the jihad in Syria's civil war. He has left his family at home in Canada. We are the neighbor of the United States, and the North is experiencing a radicalization problem. Now, this is according to a confidential report by the Canadian Security and Intelligence Services, and thus CSIS. They made public earlier this year through a Freedom of Information Act filed by Canada's National Post, which, oh, by the way, has still banned me from commenting in their comment section, so please write the editor and complain about that. The report confirms that Islamist extremists are now radicalizing Canadians at a large number of venues, and this is ranging from mosques to dinner parties and even the family home. I hope you're listening. Radicalizing Canadians at a large number of venues. And what did I cite? The mosques and dinner parties and family homes. Parents have radicalized children, husbands. They have radicalized their wives. And some wives have radicalized or supported their husbands. siblings are radicalizing each other. Indeed. According to one assessment cited by the Canadian Broadcasting Company, which, as my listeners know, I despise because they are totally engaged in dimitude. CBC is BBC's equivalent. I swear those two got married. But all the same, the CBC, they say, with the exception of the United States, there are more terrorist groups active in Canada today than in any other country in the world. And while most of their activity is based abroad, there was a study published earlier this year, which I'll get to in a little bit, folks, by the International Institute for Counterterrorism. Oh, and that's IIC. And it shows that 25 individuals have developed or have been involved in 4 plots against Canadian targets, and this is since 2006. Of these, 8 were Canadian-born. 3 were converts to Islam, and 20, nearly all, were between the ages of 18 and 35, and most were affiliated with Al-Qaeda. I want to ask you a question, people. What is going on here? We have enough issues importing them, and now the West is exporting them? Come on! We allow this to proliferate, and they grow up, and they just march on out the door, and they go out, and they create more mayhem. They create the jihad, and we allow it because we're politically correct. What about these examples in Canada, per se? I am going to discuss Britain in a minute, but what happened in Canada? What about the Toronto 18 that were arrested in 2006 for plans to behead Canada's Prime Minister, my Prime Minister, Stephen Harper? And they had a host of other schemes. Oh, yes, they did. They wanted to bomb the Toronto Stock Exchange, the Canadian Security and Intelligence Services offices, CSIS, in Toronto, and they had other targets in mind. Oh, yes. These jihadists, they're here amongst us. Don't even get me started on the Boston bombers. There was a group of 3 Muslims, Hiva Mohammed Elizada, Mishahubidin Ahmed, and Kiram Syed Shur. He was a physician, and he was a former Canadian Idol contestant. They were accused in 2010 of plotting terrorist attacks and making bombs. What about Shihab Essenhire and Raheed Jasser? They were arrested earlier this year on charges they were planning to bomb an Amtrak via passenger train running between New York and Toronto. What about John Nuttall and Amanda Carotti? These are converts charged with planning to celebrate Canada Day this year by using pressure cooker bombs to blow up the British Columbia Provincial Legislature in Victoria. These are our homegrown terrorists. And you know what? They're leaving the West, and they're going over there to fight jihad. This does not include the hundreds or more suspected of taking part in terrorist attacks abroad, including at least 100 Canadian jihadists who, like Abu Muslim, have beheaded off to join in the fighting in Syria. And yes, I said that right, beheaded off. Abu Muslim is now suspected to have taken part in an attack on an Abu Dhabi military airport this past summer. And notably, while the Muslim population of Canada is smaller than that of the United States, more Canadians than American Muslims are thought to have joined radical groups in the Syrian conflict. And we know that It's not just Syria, though, guys. There are radicals from Canada that have been involved in attacks elsewhere. The suicide bombings of a courthouse in Mogadishu, the bombings by members of Hezbollah, of a bus in Bulgaria, carrying a group of Israeli tourists, and the attack on a gas plant in January, which killed hundreds of refinery workers in Algeria, and we all are familiar with that. But most visible, guys, and certainly among the most active of these Muslim extremists, is the controversial Qadar family. I'm going to let you know about that. Omar Qadar, he killed Army medic Christopher Spear in a firefight in Afghanistan. Canadian! And he and his family continue to reside in this country. And you know what? They live quite comfortably in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, collecting their welfare benefits. This Qadar, Omar Qadar, he lives amongst us. He emigrated to Canada in 1977 from Egypt. My God. Collecting benefits. Now, not all of Canada's Islamic terrorist activity involves violence. You better believe that, because there's a lot more coming down the road. Financing for foreign terror groups has a long history in the country, as terror expert Ilan Berman, he testified this before the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Homeland Security in 2011. Other Canadian investigations during the 1990s also revealed connections to Hezbollah that reportedly includes the procurement of funds, human smuggling, especially into the United States, and the provisions of safe houses for which future attacks can be plotted. And whether or not these connections still exist today, well, that's a little unclear. But what is clear is that the radicalization of Canadian Muslims is not only continuing, but growing, as the ICC report indicates. It is a problem moderate Muslims can sense as well. I'm going to halt the article and share with you my personal opinion about moderate Muslims. They don't exist. They're not there. If you listen to my program from last week, I discussed where will you be when jihad comes to town. I outlined for you explicitly what happens when so-called moderate Muslims are confronted with the jihad. Where will you be when jihad comes to town? And we saw examples of what the moderates did. We saw that in Kenya, and we saw that in Pakistan a month ago. So don't even try to sell me a bridge from Brooklyn when it comes to moderate Muslims, because we know they don't exist. You're either in or you're out, and they're in it. They are peaceful, and they want to be accommodating, and they want to be your friend, and they want to be your neighbor. We'll tell that to the Christian in Turkey in the 1920s when she was confronted by her imam and said, "You have to kill your Christian neighbor." And she did, despite knowing them for over 20 years as wonderful neighbors. Where will the moderate Muslims be when jihad comes to town? They will not be with us. Back to the article. There is an issue of radicalization of Muslims in Canada, and they are exporting themselves. There is a lot of blame for this, and it stems not only from the Muslim community. There are several mosques in Canada who are known to be connected to extremist groups, however. But the lax codes, the accommodation, the multiculturalism charter, that is an issue. That would, for instance, partly explain the 2004 effort to introduce Sharia tribunals in Ottawa, Ontario. This was a move shockingly supported by former Attorney General Marion Boyd. In 2004, in Ontario, there was a proposal to introduce Sharia family courts. Fortunately, that was shut down. But do you realize as many as 88% of Canadian Muslims, they supported that idea of integrating Sharia law into Canadian society. This subject is likely to come up again soon. And the outcome, that's going to be anyone's guess. Now, that alone is an issue, okay, that other countries will probably confront as well in the near future. And we already know that England and the United States, they're confronted with it. It stems in part from the ease of which radicalization can take place. And it's not just in Canada. As this declassified CSIS report states, since radicalization involves the mutual confirmation of extreme views among a group of people, it can take place wherever these people gather, or in other words, just about anywhere. Now, that viewpoint, it's not foreign. It's not foreign to the international counterterrorism community. It accounts for oft-debated security measures as to the monitoring of mosques and tapping of telephones. Actions made that many condemn as undemocratic. Well, too bad! Now, you have to consider that the authors of the International Institute for Counterterrorism Review have come to one very clear conclusion, that stopping radicalization is an impossible task. And if they are right, then the challenges to the world democracy may be greater than we think. Sink that in. Let that sink in. Let me repeat that. And yet consider that the authors of the International Institute for Counterterrorism Review have come to one very clear conclusion, that stopping radicalization is an impossible task. And if they are right, then the challenges to the world democracy may be greater than we think. I have somebody here who would like to address this with me, and I am so more than happy to bring this gentleman on the program with me. And this is our very own Tommy English of the East Anglian EDL radio show, NRO in England. Tommy, hi.
Good evening, Kel. I thought I'd call in. Make my presence known.
I'm so glad you
tomorrow.
Did.
I know the young fox never abandons its mother before it goes to war. Well, you've actually given me a lot to think about, because I was actually thinking about something to do with my speech for tomorrow, and you blowing out my headphones 3 times in a row in 10 minutes. I had to keep plugging them back in again because the sound kept going.
That's me, my son.
Oh, I know. I was like, oh, don't shout, Kel, don't shout. Next minute, sound's going to plug you back in. There we go.
You're getting very... What do you think about this, though, Tommy? Like, discussing these exports. and they're leaving Canada and the United States. And I have an article I'm going to discuss a little later. And these are the exports from the United Kingdom. It just flabbergasts me in that these people come here. And maybe their parents who have abandoned the jihad, but Tommy, the kids, how do we deal with the kids? Mm. And Tommy, I want to ask you in particular, you have been confronted with jihadists in England, and how do you deal with that, and how do you wrap your head around something like that?
Well, to be honest, my fists can't do the talking more than anything. Because you cannot reason with a jihadist, but when you're confronted by him, you just kind of think to yourself, what is going through their head? When they wake up in the morning, they're just filled with so much hatred. You just think to yourself, well, why are you here? If you hate the country you live, I mean, I know you said there's no such thing as a moderate Muslim. I completely agree. Because there's so much thing as a moderate Muslim, that means there's moderate Nazis out there. It's only a small minority of Muslims who want to bring Sharia law and kill the Jews and all things like that. Well, that's like saying it's a small minority of Nazis who wanted to kill the Jews, enslave the world. It's a conundrum.
I read these articles, and I came out of the gate swinging quite handily. But it just enrages me because you read these, and what exactly are we importing in the first place? Like, I know that David Cameron I think it was around, 2005 or 2006, and Tommy, you can correct me on that, but he wanted to have more imports from third world nations to level out the WASP situation, as he called it, England. And now you're overwhelmed with these jihadists.
Well, that is exactly that. I mean, in our major cities, we've got London, Bradford, Birmingham, my hometown, Jeff's hometown. We've seen jihadists or someone linked to jihad spreading it on the internet, recruiting, mosques, leafleting. It's everywhere. Even the smallest village, you will have a mosque that's preaching hatred. Those people out there, you've got to hate them. It's your job to kill, and that's what the Quran tells you to do. That's what you must do. You just kind of think to yourself, well, I'm sorry, right, but that might work in a 5th century country like, I don't know, the Middle East, but not in a civilized Western world where everybody has equal rights, where racism and discrimination are gone. But these people, and these liberals as well, who want to take us back into that sense where, oh, everybody is unequal. And that's exactly what these Muslims are saying. When you've got groups like the UAF, everybody is equal. Well, the Quran tells you that the non-Muslims are no worse than cattle. Not very equal and don't fit to their agenda, does it? But it's, what are we importing? I would rather us import nuclear weapons than Muslims. At least they... The thing is...
Tommy, you know what? I have to say, I am so glad that you called in, and you already have a question from the chat room, and this is from Holger Awakens, and he wants to know, is Cameron worse than Blair?
Oh, both as bad as each other. I mean, Blair started off the problem, Cameron's just perfecting it for him. I mean, the fact that Blair can still go on TV and smile, it just cuts you to the bone. Thinking, oh, you horrible, horrible man. He's the one who started it off. Even though they've been coming to this country since the 60s in mass numbers, it was Tony Blair who said, we need mass immigration to make England the most multicultural country in Europe. And now, look what it's got. We've had 35,000 victims of Muslim rape gangs, 26,000 FGMs, 62 people killed in the name of jihad in this country. Yeah, multiculturalism. I mean, the thing is, Sikh community, Jewish community, very well, very integrated. They don't care if you don't believe them. They'll still welcome you in. Oh, don't go into that Muslim area. If you go in there, they'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Like, I'll tell you something, guys. From Leeds to Goole, which is our two cities near me, Goole is predominantly Jewish. Bradford, as we all know, is predominantly Muslim. There is literally a line drawn in the main road there, the dirt cross. And I think of that, like the Egyptian-Israeli border, there's a line drawn in the sand where no one can cross. If they cross onto their side,
yeah. They
know the Muslims will attack the Jews in Goole. But if the Jews go from Goole going to Bradford, they're not going to come back out again.
And no,
awful.
They're not.
It's absolutely
awful. I'm just really disgusted in what I see going on in the West. And, I mean, we always concentrate on England. And, ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you that Tommy English is the co-host at the East Anglian EDL radio show that you can hear here on Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So I am forever grateful that Tommy is calling into my humble show and sharing his insights. But Tommy...
I was going to say, I have a question I'd like to put out there.
Oh, please do.
Why is it that we're meant to live in this lovely multicultural world, like England, America, Canada, Europe, but yet we import 5.6 million Muslims a year, and they breed like rabbits on speed. 6, 7, 8 children to 4 wives, so that's nearly 30 children to one husband and 4 wives. Do them a fact, guys. I'm actually going to get my calculator on this because I cannot mathematically have that up in my head. So you got 5 million Muslims times 30, let me think. 36 times 4, Kel. Can you do maths in your head?
I can try. I can only promise that I can try.
Okay, so here we go. 36 times 4 equals 144. Okay,
well, that's so a percentage that's a quite a high percentage. And Eric Kyle from the chat room said 144 million.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, that's exactly the number I've got as well. 2.5 million in 2007. It's definitely gone up now.
I was just reading an article about something, and I'm going to go off. I'm going to deviate a little bit. But and Dodgy Dave from the chat room, he kind of nodded me towards this, is that there are so many Muslims in Britain that are on the UK benefit payouts, and 60%
yeah.
of men and 75% of women.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the audacity to come forth and tell us how we are going to conduct ourselves, and they have the audacity to be able to spout and spew this garbage in our Western organizations. I centered the show around this today because I'm just furious, Tommy. We're dealing with the lesser jihad and the greater jihad. What is up with that? Like, we know the lesser jihad is the kinetic jihad and the greater jihad is the personal struggle. But what are they doing about the lesser jihadists? What are they doing about the suicide bombers and the Shahids, or the martyrs, if you prefer? It's just, it's overwhelming. And they're here in the West, Tommy, and you're in England, and you have been working so very, very diligently to apprise people that there is a great threat. As a matter of fact, I'm not ashamed of saying that you inspired me to actually do my own radio show, because being in talks like this, in North America, we don't want to see what's happening in Europe, and it is devastating what's happening.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, Kel, to give you a bit of an example of what it's like to speak to somebody who doesn't agree with you,
mm-hmm.
I want you to imagine that I'm a member of the UAS, and I have called into your show, and I want you to try and tell me about Islam, and I will tell you what their responses are. So I will try and grease my hair up and look a bit scruffy for you.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay, so guys, for those of you who don't know what United Against Fascism is, these are the people who come to counter protest the EDL, but obviously we all know who they are. All right, Kel, try and tell me about Islam and I will give you some UAF responses.
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, Miss Fritzy, I think you spouting off racism on this sort of show is absolutely intolerable, and we here at United Against Fascism will not tolerate you spouting off this fascism any longer.
Well, all I have to say to that is that you are misreading us. We are nothing but the religion of peace.
Well, I think Islam is a very peaceful religion. After all, Islam does not preach killing and butchering of British soldiers.
We do not endorse the kinetic jihad. That is not Islam. That is not what we do. We do not slaughter soldiers in the middle of London streets.
Exactly. And that's what they like, guys. I feel a bit traitorous now. Hold on a second. EDL, EDL, EDL. There we go. I'm back.
Hey, Tommy. I was doing some research for the show, and I came across this clip, and I'm going to play it for you. I want you to tell me what you think of this, and I'm just going to bring it up, and here we go. I got it right here. It's only a minute long, Tommy. But take a listen to this, and I want you to tell me what you think. This is a soundbite I came across from Bare Naked Islam, and that's my friend Bonnie. And, yes, she is my friend because we go out for tea.
in the conservatory.
Yeah, there you go. You got it, Tommy. And she posted this on her website. And this is a Muslim from Saudi Arabia, transplanted, Tommy, in England. And he has this to say about David Cameron, our queen, and the future queen, Kate Middleton. And take a listen, and Tommy and I are going to come back and dissect this. It's a bit of a slow startup, but here we go. Anytime. Come on, baby.
What is the nightmare on Downing Street? The nightmare on Downing Street, my dear brothers, is when the door of 10 Downing Street is kicked down by one Muwahid, and a Khalif, he walks in, and he establishes the Sharia. The nightmare on Downing Street, my dear brothers, is when one Muwahid, he pulls a rope, and he raises the banner of La ilaha illallah above Big Ben. The nightmare on Downing Street, my dear brothers, is when one Muwahid, he flies with a helicopter all the way to the top of Big Ben, the removal of those numbers, and replace it with the Arabic numbers. That is the nightmare, my dear brothers. That is the nightmare of Downing Street. And as you all understand, we as Muslims, we are not those type of coconut, chocolate, moderate Muslims, the ones who bow their heads down to the government. Rather, we're the ones who want to, inshallah, work for the sake of Allah to establish the Ishar of Deen and make sure David Cameron, he comes on his hands and knees and gives us the jizya. Yeah, that's right. And that we cover up all of the women and put niqab on their face, including Queen Elizabeth and Kate Middleton as well, the whore. That's right. Fornicator.
And all I can say is, shut up!
Oh,
get out of our countries!
Oh,
my God, Tommy.
Was he trying to rap or something? It sounded like a bit of a rap to me. He just needed a bit of a tune in the background of it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that he wanted to be. I don't know what they're doing. I think they're trying a new approach to reach the youth, as it were. And we're going to wrap this out, and we're going to talk to you about jihad. It's just insanity. And, Tommy, this was taped out of England.
This stuff, I guess it's old news to us now. I mean, we've been hearing this ever since 9/11. I mean, if they want to bring the Sharia, then go ahead and do it right now. It's okay talking about it. If you're just going to go out and do it, then do it. I mean, actions speak louder than words. Action takes courage. I mean, I could have been sat at home all day. Oh, bloody Muslims, bloody jihad, not doing anything about it. But no, I've been doing something for nearly 4 years. it's okay then. Oh, we're going to bring the Sharia. But yeah, they will try and bring us the Sharia. The Rigby, the burying of poppies, the attacking of British soldiers when the members praise. Yeah, they're actually doing something to try and bring it. But what scares me the most is that 89% of Muslims living in this country want Sharia law.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes you think, well, if you want Sharia law, go somewhere that has Sharia law. I mean, if I was to move to, I don't know, Jordan right now, Jordan soldiers burning hell, Christian law for everybody, build more churches, release the niqabs on your women. You know what? I wouldn't last 5 minutes. They would stone me there and then. But in this country,
we want
Sharia law. Build more mosques. We take your white girls. Then it's £25,000 in benefits and a £2 million mansion sitting on the Thames.
It's just amazing. The
appeasement.
It just overwhelms me about what they are capable of usurping and sneaking under the radar, Tommy. I'm in Canada, and I live in the middle of nowhere, Canada. I don't see a whole lot of burqas happening around the place, but you are in the midst of it, and you're a very young man. And you became involved with the English Defense League because you saw something happening, and you were, like, quite young. You
I was 16.
You are shouldering a burden, though. Like, you shoulder a burden in that you are defending England, and that's something you have to walk around with for a very, very, well, for the rest of your life, Tommy. And are you prepared to take on this battle against the usurpers, which
yeah.
I refer to them as, like I know,
yes,
I know
so
you
so.
Are,
but
I know you are, but are you,
I,
are
I
you?
Get my strength. I get my strength from the trenches because at least what we saw in World War One was a lot of 16-year-olds who lied about their age to go fight in the trench because they knew what the fighting for was right. They were fighting for their country. What I do now isn't even anywhere close to what they went through in those 4 horrible years. 16-year-olds, guys, in tin helmets and rifles, in the trenches, in the rain and the snow and the diseases. You know, nothing compared to what I do now. But if they can do that, fighting a real war with proper battles, but this country, it's a war of hearts and minds. You got to win hearts and minds, and that's the battle because you got to gain them. That's how I view it. And then one day, if they burn another poppy, they will see a Lee Rigby aftermath times 10. If they butcher another British soldier,
don't even let
on these
them
streets,
entertain that idea.
Exactly.
Absolutely
they,
not.
Right now, things are very, very tense. They know right now if they do anything that's going to wind this country up again, then I think, you know, it will really become a horrible battle because 45% of this country see that in 2016 there will be a huge war between Muslims and non-Muslims. 45% of
well,
the country.
Well, you know, I've been hearing a lot of noises coming out of England in terms of civil war. And we know that we do not want to escalate towards that. But I'll tell you, Tommy, like I was talking with Jan England, and she's the RO for the Christian Defense League, and I was speaking with her, and she was sending this to me, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, I cannot believe this, and that there are more than 1,000 Muslims from across Europe, and they are currently active as Islamic jihadists or holy warriors, or I call them the Shahids, and their mamas must be so bloody proud. They're in Syria, they're in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Somalia. These are their main destinations for militant Islams to seek out and create a jihad. And these are coming from Europe, more than 1,000 Muslims that you, as a country, have taken in and embraced and welcomed, and this is your thanks that you get?
Exactly. Well, I was going to say, I see this like a game of poker. When Aaron Jim Chowdhury calls a jihad, I'll see that and raise a crusade.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, though, that's exactly what we do, because tomorrow you could say I'm going on a crusade in Shotton. Because they want to build a mosque there. The entire community said no, because why should they build a mosque for 0.2% of the population? And why do they need five mosques already? They're going to build a sixth one. No need. No need at all. But because the way how they do it is, in this country, if you want to build a community centre, you do not have to have council permission. So if they say you want to build a mosque, planning permission, we don't. No, you can't have it. Okay, you want to build an Islamic community centre? Oh, we can't stop you then. Oh, well, hold on a minute. Well, what? Hold on. If I mean, when are these councils going to sit down and think, oh, well, if we let them build it, then Eid Yellow going to come down. Oh, we don't want that. If we've got to shovel out money to pay for their march, we better let them do it.
Yeah.
That's all they have to do. Bit of common sense. I mean, I've always said, if they stop building mosques, put these jihadis in jail, monitor what goes on these mosques, I would leave tomorrow. That's it. Job done for me. It's sorted out. No more jihad, no more spreading of hatred. They're going to monitor what's going on. They're going to be stricter on the spreading of radicalisation. We would all leave tomorrow. That would be it. We've won. But no, as long as they're going to be stupid, bury their heads in the sand and say, okay, we don't want to offend you. We don't want to be called the R word.
Oh,
is that word?
Of course not. It's very, very frustrating for me as a North American and sitting here and watching the developments that happen in Europe. And I listen to you on the East Anglian EDL radio show, and I can hear the frustration in your voice, Tommy. And Tommy, you, as such a young man, you have a lifelong battle ahead of you, and I know you're prepared for it. But I just
up
don't
to the Zimmer
want
frame
this.
Days.
Oh, where? I don't want it to shorten your enjoyment of life in general. I mean, we are supposed to love life, and we are supposed to enjoy what we have. And the jihadists, though, they make it so bloody hard when they decide that they want to come over here and mess with our experience. We love life, and they love death, and it bothers me.
EDL always comes first for me. Sometimes I'll get my friends who'll say, "Come on, Tom, let's go out for a couple of drinks. Let's go get really drunk and go to some nightclubs." And I'll say, "Sorry, guys, I'm going on a march."
Yeah.
Basically, I'm fighting for England. I don't take days off. I don't take sick days. I've been on the march when I've had a horrible hangover and a horrible migraine, full of cold. I'll still be there marching because there's no such thing as a sick day in the EDL. There's no such thing as a day off in the EDL.
There is no such thing off. You know, Tommy, I cannot agree with you more. Islam never gives us a day off, and I technically try to ensure that I have a Tuesday and a Saturday off so I can spend with my family. But Islam never gives us a break, and when you are engaged in fighting the scourge, You can't afford to take very much time off, because Islam never does give us that break. Islam doesn't take a day off. It's 24/7 all the time. And you're so busy. As a matter of fact, oh, my God, Tommy, you're off to another demo tomorrow, aren't you?
Well, today for me now, I'll be there in...
Oh, today for you. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's 10 to 1, so I'll be there. It'll be setting off in 8 hours. But the thing is, I've only missed one demo this year, and that was Bolton. And when I told the idiot, I can't make it this year, guys, I'm sorry, they're saying, oh, Tommy, don't you worry about me. You've been on every single demo this year. You're entitled to relax for a day. That was the one demo where I've missed, guys, and I didn't want to miss it, but I had to miss it. So, Shotton, I'm making up for it. And that's tomorrow, and exactly 8 hours from now. Was it 8 hours? No, sorry, 7 hours. I'll be getting up, baking on the grill, get the shower running, and that's it. I'll be out the door onto Shotton.
will you please email me to so that I know that you got home safe? You know I worry.
Yeah, I can do that.
Thank you.
New Mexico, you should be telling me the same thing on Twitter.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And Sue from New Mexico is joining us in the studio. So if you want to say hello to Sue, please do.
Hello, Sue. So, sorry I didn't get onto the EDR radio show earlier, guys. I didn't get back home from work till 10:45. I was like, oh, well, hold on a minute. Kel's on at 12 o'clock.
There you go. And I'm such a bum. But, oh, my goodness. What time do you have to get up in the morning for the demo?
Oh, let me think. Well, I won't sleep tonight because I've already got the demo bus. I have to be up. I'm getting picked up 9:30, so I'll probably be up about 7 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to get less than 6 hours sleep then?
You know, I mean, I was getting a drink down there.
Well, I know you. You're young and you're robust and you're always have your boots on the ground and you're always ready to go.
Yeah, well, as soon as you get the adrenaline rush, as soon as you get there, as soon as you start marching, you're like, way. But the thing is, guys, when you're coming home from a march, your adrenaline's going, you're calming down, you just feel so tired. So, I mean, every time I come back from a demo, I'm like, oh, God, I could do with a nap. Because that's it, you know, your heart beats really fast, your head starts spinning, like, oh, let's go for this march. But as soon as you're on your way, you're like, oh, so tired, I'm so relaxed. Because you always feel so relaxed. I mean, Graham slept on top of me on the way back from Tower of Hamlets because he was really tired. We all ended up looking up the back of the car. I think there's a picture of us going around all asleep in the back of the car, just cuddled up.
Well, you know what? That's what you have to do. How long a day is this going to be for you tomorrow, though? How long, how far, for example, do you have to travel?
Oh, it's not really far because it's just straight up the coast. So it's basically a straight journey. I mean, it only takes about an hour and a half to get there. That's without stops. So we'll probably have one stop along the way. So probably look at a 2-hour journey. Mm-hmm. The march itself will probably last about half an hour. Then we've got the speeches. I know I'm speaking. Need to get something planned in the next couple of hours, but I think there's something on the way up there. So probably looking at an early afternoon, well, probably late afternoon finish, then back to Hull, get myself ready, then I promise my friends I'm going out for a bit. So very long day.
Well, tomorrow. I don't blame you.
It's always nice to celebrate a victory. But of course, UEFA, we don't want these racists in Shotton. Oh, the people of Shotton don't want the EDL here. Well, guys, we've got 6 speakers tomorrow, and 5 of them are actually people from Shotton who have said, can I speak? So,
oh, yeah.
Even the people of Shotton have been on Twitter called People of Shotton, we welcome the EDL.
I was wondering, are you preparing up for the Exeter rally on November 16th?
That one I am debating because it's one hell of a journey for me, that one. I've got to travel from the northeast down to the south.
Yeah, that's quite a ways. Yeah, that's quite a ways. But there is a gentleman that puts all these YouTube videos together because he is a staunch supporter of the English Defence League, and that's Martin Hythe. And I have told people, do not Google Martin Hythe. That's not his real name. So if you try to Google this fella, good luck with all that. And he put together a video for the Exeter demo on November 16th. Tommy, do you want to take a listen to it?
I love the way you say Exeter.
Exeter. Here, Tommy, this is what Martin did for the English Defence League, and I'm so proud to know this gentleman. And he's the one behind all the voice work of EDL demos and YouTube videos. This man is brilliant, and he is such a fan of the East Anglian EDL radio show, where Tommy is the co-host. So I'm very pleased to share this with my audience. Here, Tommy, take a listen to this.
Okay.
If you are sick and tired of the growing threat of Muslim terrorism, our government's lack of action about the burqa, money being diverted in the NHS to treat cases of female genital mutilation, the media's covering up of cases of Muslim paedophile gangs, and our politicians' cowardice, half-truths and lies about all of these things, then come and have your voice heard in Exeter on Saturday, the 16th of November. Defence League is not about race, and it never was. It is about making Britain's politicians listen to the people who live in this country, and that is why they have tried to silence us. No matter who you are or where you are from, you will be made welcome. If you stand alone, you will be ignored. But together, we can make a difference.
Think of that, Tommy.
It's great, and knowing me, I'll probably end up going on that one.
it's going to be a big one, and I think it's going to be an important one. And ladies and gentlemen, just to apprise you that the Red Fox Blogger is closely associated with the English Defense League and the EDL radio program, because we are all in this fight together. I'm also closely associated with the Radio Jihad Network. All these shows are intertwined, and we share common material, and we share common knowledge. We try our best. We are an international organization fighting the scourge, which we recognize as Islam, and we try our level best to ensure that you get the truth, because there are no other programs out there that will do that. You don't have Red Fox Blogger on terrestrial radio. You don't have East Anglian EDL radio show on terrestrial radio. You do not have Radio Jihad Network on terrestrial radio. We just try our very, very best to ensure that you get the truth. And so I'm very, very grateful that Tommy English is joining the program tonight and sitting with me, because you're wonderful, Tommy.
Oh, thank you. I was going to say, the About Me on my Facebook's upset as somebody in the UAF. For those of you that have my Facebook, my it says About Me, it says About Tommy English. It says EDL, NFSE, LGBT Division, Stand By Our Troops, Support Israeli Independence, Destroyer of Islamofascism and Communism.
Right.
No to cultural Marxist genocide. No to dictatorship. Yes to democracy. Keep St. George in my heart. Keep me English. England till I die. And apparently what I've said there is racist.
You racist.
Oh, I can't win. I mean,
I can't
win.
I'm going to jump a bit, but According to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, religion is now, criticizing religion is now racist. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should form our anti-jihad network into a religion. And you can be our pope.
You're reading my mind, son.
Well, you know, it'd be great. We'll write our own holy book. We'll build our own little churches. You know what I mean? And we'll class as a religion so it can be no to the racist, fascist UAF, say no to racism, fascism, and EDL phobia.
Gosh. Please always call into the Red Fox Blogger Show because you're brilliant.
Well, it'd be great. What can I say?
Well,
you could be our high priestess.
You know what? I would be more than happy to do an MP3 and send it to you, Tommy, and that you could relate. That would be a voice from Canada. I would be so happy to do that. And by the way, you have a friend request coming your way from
Milner.
The chat room. There you
go.
His first name is Dave. Add him. Mm-hmm. He is a dear friend, and he is a patriot. He really is enjoying what you have to say. And I have to tell you, Tommy, the chat room is just a jumping. Everybody is so excited by what you're saying, and I cannot agree more. I think a lot of people are rather impressed with the fact that you're such a young lad. And I kind of hate doing that, but I'm 50 years old, and you're
no,
the
no,
son
no,
I never
don't
had.
Tell a lie. You're only in your early 30s, dear.
But you're kind of like the son I never had, in that you make me very, very proud, and the chat room is very proud of you. I was alluding back a little bit about your involvement in fighting the scourge. We're always in awe of the young people that engage in fighting that. We are in the chat room. We're wondering, where are you going to be maybe in 5 years, 10 years? I don't know. Are you going to be able? Well, I know you're going to be able. Do not let, I think we kind of worry about it wearing you down. Do you think it will? Do you think that the scourge will find a way to get to you or anything like that?
They have done before. They've got to my family. They've got to my friends. They've got my work number. They harass my work with emails, phone calls. They ring me on my mobile at really early hours of the morning. Oh, we know where you are. We're going to get you and all that. So I say, right, so where are you now? Well, why? So they want to come outside. I'll come outside and I'll come see you. We'll go for a drink. Because the thing is, those of you who have me on Twitter, they really attack me on Twitter. Oh, we know who you are. We know who you are. You know, I'm just thinking to myself, oh, well, I mean, everyone likes a secret admirer, but I don't think I need about a couple of hundred on my Facebook and Twitter every day.
Isn't that something, huh? Yeah. I had Care Chicago following me on Twitter. And they were like, oh, okay, what's this chick up to? It's okay. All right. Let's keep tabs on her. I finally had to block them. Well, actually, you know what? I'm embarrassed, Tommy, to say this, but I did not know how to block on Twitter. So I shut down my account altogether because I was I didn't want to deal with their Twitter messages to me any longer. And Care Chicago in particular was really, really nasty. So, well, they weren't nasty because they were keeping within the confines of the law, but they were trying to send me helpful suggestions to understand Islam. And I ended up shutting down my Twitter account and reestablishing it. But you're right, Tommy. They find us everywhere.
I have Kick Out BMP, I got Cheeky Joe, I got Ewok Defense, always attacking me every day. So they Tommy English is a Nazi, Tommy English is a racist. So then what I did is I found a really interesting thing that I found on the internet. I'll read this out to you. We are socialists. We are enemies of the capitalistic economic system for the exploitation of the economically weak, with its unfair salaries, with its unseemly evaluation of a human being, according to wealth and property, instead of responsibility and performance. And we are determined to destroy this system under all conditions. After all, we are socialists. And guys, Adolf Hitler said that, and I just said, how can I be a Nazi when I'm not a socialist?
And you're not. Yeah. You're only the leader of the, you're an RO for the Gay Defense League. And
exactly.
Well, that's pretty funny that they would say that you're some sort of socialist and some
I'm
sort of fascist. That's interesting. That is just amusing.
The thing is, though, is I always remember Winston Churchill's words, the fascists of the 21st century will call themselves anti-fascists. Now, guys, I'm not an anti-fascist, I am an anti-anti-fascist. Still an anti-fascist. After all, I hate fascism, I don't care. I mean, after all, I mean, we here at in the anti-jihad family, community,
mm-hmm.
family, exactly.
Yeah.
We don't care what colour, background, religion, race you are. If you're going to go around killing innocent people, then obviously we're against you. I mean, obviously we're against the Muslim jihad, but David Copeland, 1999, London nail bomber, went around blowing up nightclubs, killed a lot of people. He was white, now doing a long-term stretch. Yeah, we're against him. We don't support anything he did. And we don't even support people who kill Muslims out of cold blood in this country or in any other country,
mm-hmm.
because we do not condone violence of any sort. But if you're going to come over and threaten me, you're going to come over and threaten us, our families, our friends, then obviously we won't hesitate. It's a self-defense, guys, and that's something that they want to class as manslaughter in this country. So we had somebody who we had someone who was on who's in doing a 5-year stretch for manslaughter. He rung the police saying that he had Muslims trying to get into his home, trying to rob his house. He's 79-year-old. And he was on the phone, and he said to the police, under common law, if they trespass on my property, I can kill them, which is true, because it's trespassing on their land. And he had a shotgun, guys, and he said, if they come into my house, I will fire 3 warning shots to let them know, and if they come into my house, I will shoot one of them. So he fired 3 warning shots, they didn't take it, so they kept trying to get into his house, so he shot one of them in the leg. This Muslim died, the other two legged it, didn't catch him, but yet he gets done for murder for something under common law that protects him.
Oh, for God's sake. I don't understand. And that was the premise of the show tonight, is that when you and I are discussing this sort of thing, you hear the frustration in my voice, and I think the listeners, they got a pretty good dose of the Cal Fritzy frustration, because I came out of the gate swinging. That sort of thing just leaves me baffle-gapped. And it's happening in North America, and I see it happening in Europe. And Tommy, I can hear the frustration in your voice as well. You have a legacy to protect. I have a legacy to protect, and we all do have a legacy to protect. We cannot sit here and lie down and take this bull, as it were. And I would swear, but I rated my show for everyone to listen to, so I can't even swear my own damn show. Okay, I just did. But
we're so interlinked, aren't we, Kel, with our countries. Like, if they put Sharia law in Canada right now, if they said Canada's now under Sharia law, you're looking at some D-Day style invasion from the EDL on the coast of Canada,
mm-hmm.
on the Atlantic coast of Canada. You will see EDL members charging out the boats, because we will fight against Sharia law. We don't care how far it is or where it is in our Western world. If they're going to declare it somewhere, then be prepared to fight for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tommy, I know that it's very, very late for you. And
1:10.
Oh, goodness. And what time do you have to be up, son? My son? My EDL son?
I'm gonna get up at 7:30 because knowing me, I'll lie in bed for 15 minutes thinking, oh, give me some chance.
How long
to wake
is
up.
The drive to the demo?
Hour and a half.
Oh, but you're gonna, like you were saying earlier, you'll just snooze in the back of the car.
Yeah, we'll end up cuddling up again.
Well, what I'm going to do, and this is unusual for the Red Fox blogger, I usually don't play these very, very, very long clips, but I want to play this for you, and especially because Tommy is here, in that Martin Hive, he posted a YouTube video, and it's the EDL in the Quran. It's 6 minutes long, but it is fascinating. I want you guys to listen to this, and me and Tommy, if he's willing and coming back, we'll see you back here in 6 minutes. But listen to this. This is really important, and I hope that you get the MP3 and download this too.
Here are some well-known verses from the Muslim Quran and Hadith, which are read, spoken and preached in mosques and taught to Muslim children all across this country. The words and references that are used to describe Christians, Jews, Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, agnostics, atheists and anyone else who is not a Muslim have simply been replaced with one word. They have been replaced with the word Muslim. Nothing else in these verses has been changed. So, when the sacred months have passed away, then slay the Muslims wherever you find them, and take them captive, and besiege them, and lie in wait for them in every ambush. But take not friends from their Muslim ranks, but if they turn renegade, seize them and slay them wherever ye find them, and take no friends or helpers from their Muslim ranks. I will cast terror into the hearts of the Muslims, therefore strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. Fight the Muslims. We will punish them by your hands and bring them to disgrace. Strive hard against the Muslims and the hypocrites and be unyielding to them. And their abode is hell and their evil is their destination. Lo, they cannot escape. Make ready for the Muslims, all thou canst of armed forces and of horses tethered, that thereby ye may dismay the Muslims and your enemy. Soon shall we cast terror into the hearts of the Muslims. And be not weak-hearted in pursuit of the Muslims. If the Muslims and those in whose hearts is a disease and the alarmists in the city do not cease, we verily urge thee on against them, then they will be your neighbors in it but a little while. Accursed they will be seized wherever found and slayed with a fierce slaughter. Therefore, when you meet the Muslims in battle, those who disbelieve, then smite the necks until when you have overcome them, then make them prisoners. Killing Muslims is a small matter to us. The punishment of those who wage war against the non-Muslims and strive to make mischief in the land is only this: that they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides, or they should be imprisoned. This shall be as a disgrace for him in this world, and hereafter they shall have a grievous chastisement. O ye who believe, fight the Muslims who are near to you, and let them find in you hardness. And fight with the Muslims until there is no more. If thou comest on Muslims in the war, deal with them so as to strike fear in those who are behind them. The morning after the murder of Ashraf, the Prophet declared, "Kill any Muslims who fall under your power." Therefore, listen not to the Muslims, but strive against them the utmost strenuousness. The hour will not be established until you fight with the Muslims, and the stone behind which a Muslim will be hiding will say, "There is a Muslim hiding behind me, so kill him." Is this hate speech? Is this inciting violence and the murder of Muslims? If it is, then why are our government, our politicians, and our police allowing these verses in their original form to be read and preached on a daily basis in hundreds and hundreds of mosques all across this country? Why are our government, our politicians, and our police allowing these verses to be taught to Muslim children in Islamic schools and madrasas all across this country? Why are our government, our politicians, and our police allowing these verses and many more to instruct and inspire more and more Muslims in this country to become violent, to commit murder, and to become terrorists? And why are we, the people of this country, while these verses from the Quran and Hadith say we must all be either enslaved or murdered by Muslims, still allowing our government, our politicians, and our police to do nothing?
People listened to that, and you know exactly where Martin Hyde is going with that, and he's absolutely correct. Those are the hadiths, and those are the sirahs in the Quran, people, that Muslims follow each and every day. And just imagine if that was in our Holy Bible, or in our Judea, well, in general, in our Judeo-Christian society, in our Bibles, in our wherever, but it's in the Quran. That is in the Quran. That is dictated in the Quran. Can you imagine that being switched around, and how much hell we would be facing? And I do say the word hell, literally. We would be in hell. Because we're Christians, we're Judeo-Christians, and we do not believe in that garbage that comes out of the Quran. And I welcome Tommy back. And Tommy, what do you think of that?
It's one of those videos that makes you think. It's one of those videos that's rhetorical. You know, you can't answer it. You just kind of think. I mean, the way how we structured it was really spot on. You know, how we just replaced every single way with the word Muslim. If that was inciting to kill Muslims, then how come everything's been preached in its original form to every single mosque and child in this country? I think the way we're doing it is really creative. And I know I always do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I read the Quran and I read the Hadith, and the sickness of Muhammad was apparent to me. But the thing is that they see Muhammad as his perfect man. Well, I'm sorry, but if a if you've got a fascist paedophile walking around the desert saying, join me or we'll kill you, then obviously that's not a perfect man. I mean, look at Jesus. Jesus went around healing people. Like you had the blind man, you had the leper, you had the little girl who was passing away, then Jesus brought her back to life. He didn't go around saying, join me or I'll cut your head off and I'll enslave your wives and marry your youngest daughters.
I have to tell you one thing is that they certainly have quite a way of making an impact in the Western world, and the premise of the show was pretty much about the dimitude of our governments in the West and what we're doing to control the issue of homegrown jihadists. And I came across this article. I'm just switching gears, Tommy, so bear with me. But I came across this article, and it really annoyed me. And that's why I put in the show notes, Mounties asleep at the switch. And that's because Canadian Mounties, they were barred from using Islamic terms like jihad to describe, well, jihad. It's like, come on. This is our Western countries. We can use any term we want, but the United States, they face the same issue in that they had to modify their 9/11 commission book and remove all of these terms that would have to do with jihad. And so many documents were redacted that it made me sick. And I thought, well, okay, maybe that's the United States. But no, it's England and it's Canada as well. And there was something that came out of Ottawa in Canada, and that there was a new trouble for the RCMP. They had this manual put together that tries to wash out terms like Islamist and jihad from officers' mouth when they talk about terrorism. It's distorted and inflammatory linkages between Islam and terrorism, and it can serve to convince Muslims both in the West and in the larger Islamic world that the West is in fact their enemy, the manual says. So we have to whitewash all these phraseologies and get rid of it. It's this is
ooh,
like an Islamic wet dream.
I was going. A great comparison. I was just going to say someone's taken up my challenge of my Bookfish challenge game, which is something I've been doing in the EDL for a long time now. What it is, Bookfast is a bottle of wine. It's full of caffeine. And ever since my time in the EDL, I've always challenged people to see who can down a bottle. It's really strong, it's really sweet. And I've just got someone in the SDL who said, you're still doing your drinks challenge, Tommy? Oh, I've done that for months now. Oh, well, do you want to do it again tomorrow? Oh, well, if you like. But the thing is, though, with books fast, though, it's very potent, it's very strong. You do get a right energy rush off that. But the thing is, though, it's the Scottish Defence League asking me, and they're crazy, the Scots. In the good way, so I don't apologize. I'm not in an offensive way to any Scottish people. I'm just saying, you're all crazy. Look at Braveheart.
Oh, gosh, Tommy, you're going to have to keep me abreast of that one. No, I'm reading this article, though, and get this, Tommy. This article is called Words Make Worlds. And it dates
really?
Back to 2009. Yeah, Words Make Worlds. But, yeah, so if words make worlds, we're not allowed to use certain worlds. In words that make worlds, oh my gosh, I wish I could speed up my speech.
Well, if anything, Cal, we're
in a war of stupid.
Oh, we're in a war of the words at the minute.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Well, we had an issue. The Conservative government in Canada, they really did have an issue with this at the Back then, the public safety minister was Dick Tase, and he said that he didn't consider the RCMP's soft language on terror as a concession to Islam. Well, I think it's a matter of moving sensitively in what is an area where we need to cooperation. We need to have cooperation of these groups. No, that's our public safety minister. Like, he did have an issue with it, but his public statement really upset me. I think it's a matter of moving sensitively in what is an area where we need the cooperation of these groups. No, we don't need the cooperation of these groups. We need to annihilate these damned groups. God! Sorry, Tommy. I went off again.
Yeah, and you probably did my headphones again.
I'm sorry, honey.
Oh, no, well, they're a cheap set anyway.
Well, how come we cannot use the term jihad? Like, why is that that cannot be included in our lexicon of speech? Because we know what the jihad is. We know that there is the greater jihad, and that is the personal pursuit of spirituality and blah, 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 and bore me to death one more time. And then we have the lesser jihad, and that's the kinetic jihad. But that's the one that's cited in the Quran like over 147 different times.
Well, the thing is, though, I mean, they think they're going to go get their 72 versions. You know, it's just, I mean, if I was a terrorist, I'd probably get bored after 25. But basically, right, it's basically eternal erections. I mean, it's going to hurt after a while, and they've got that for the rest of eternity. So I'm laughing at them. But it just boggles. I mean, well, 72 versions. I mean, so it's just basically 72 World of Warcraft players.
And who wants 72 versions to begin with anyway? Like, I know the running joke is 72 versions inexperienced. Come on, take on a whore like Kate Middleton.
that
still really, really angers me, though.
Did you ever see that sign outside that Catholic church? I think it was in America that said, don't die a virgin, there's terrorists up there waiting for you.
Just to let people know, I'm still stewing over that audio that I shared with you about that Islamic and calling my future queen a whore. Like, that just angers me. I'm furious about that. I am an Anglophile. I'm a Canadian. I'm a subject of the queen. And when these freaking freak shows come along and they call my future queen names like that, I do get furious. And Tommy knows that. I get very impassioned, and I blew out Tommy's speakers
many times. But do you know what we should do? We should get every leading imam in our countries and just say, right, you moan about us being in your countries, we moan about you being in ours. If we pull our troops out of your countries, would you get out of ours? That only seems fair. One hand washes the other. That seems fair. Do you want to do that?
I would think so. Yeah.
It's only fair, isn't it? I mean, we pull our forces out of your countries, you've got to leave ours. You don't, we'll stay there.
Oh, they won't dare say anything like that. What's interesting about this article that I was citing is that the RCMP, they had no one available for comment. Isn't that always the case?
Well, look what happened to George Galloway when he got Channel 4 producer on there.
George Galloway. Oh, my goodness. I wish I could find a clip for that SOB. This man is absolutely incorrigible. And I think he's a Muslim, Tommy.
Oh, he is a Muslim. You can always tell who is and who isn't, because you can tell by the hatred and the lies that come out of him. But for our American listeners who have not seen yet, type in George Galloway, Big Brother, when he's dressed up as that cat licking milk out of Pete Baines' hand.
Oh, that reality show that he went on. He was wearing that red leotard and crawling around and meow.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And
yeah,
people voted this guy in.
Oh, my God. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a credible public representative. Hello? Good grief.
Oh God, that was great. I remember watching that because that was 10 years ago, believe it or not, guys. I didn't know who George Galloway was back then.
That was and the guy still managed to get reelected.
Well, you know, Muslims vote for Muslims in Muslim areas.
Well, yeah, look at his riding. I mean, the guy's in Luton. Is he in Luton or Tower Hamlets?
George Galloway's Bradford West. It's Mufti Rahman who's Tower Hamlets.
Okay, thanks.
No problem.
And, and he has, I think he's working on his third wife right now. Something like that.
Did you hear about his sexual perversions?
What's that, Tommy?
Did you hear about his sexual perversions from his first wife?
Oh, no, please share, though. We're beyond prime time. We're into adult time, but go away. Go off. Go on, share it.
George Galloway likes wet leather and being spanked.
Oh, gosh. George Galloway. Oh.
Apparently he's very fond. He has a very leather fetish, and he favours the leather gimp mask. And the safety word was always banana. Type it on the internet, guys. Type in George Galloway's sexual perversions. It's his wife.
I am so totally going off on George Galloway, and folks, you have to bear with me because I despise this man. The Red Fox blogger just absolutely despises this person, and I am so glad that Tommy is here with me, and I'm going to say to Tommy, Tommy, he has pig eyes. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to free you because you have to get up 8, 9, 10.
Yeah,
11,
I've got to be honest, till I'm falling asleep here. I was kind of like, I've got my eyes shut while I'm talking.
Oh, I know. But will you do me a solid and send me a note that you came home safely? Because, you know, EDL Mama always worries.
Yeah, well, I think the other EDL Mamas always worry about me because they know what
I know.
Hooligan.
And don't forget, we're red for Canada.
As always.
Thank you, hon.
Okay,
I'm so totally going to let you go because I've monopolized your time for over an hour.
You're so gracious
to call in.
Oh, I've enjoyed it. And now Jeff does send his love. I did speak to Jeff just before the show, and he said he was getting a bit tired. He was going to call in, but he was falling asleep. So I said, oh, well, see what you need to do, Jeff. I'll be going on for a bit, and I've been on for the past hour, because that's just it. We could talk all night about these issues.
Oh, for goodness sake, could we ever?
Look at me now, see, when I called in. That hour just gone like that. Because when he said to me, oh, well, Tom, we've only got 5 minutes, well, we can't already, have we? Look at that. I can't believe it's been an hour already. I really can't.
I want to wish you every success for tomorrow. And Jeff is going to want an update for the Sunday show.
Oh, sorry, I was just yawning then. I do apologize.
It's all good, Dave. Tommy,
well.
Tommy, thank you so very much. And go to bed. Get up fresh and ready for that demo because we need you for Sunday.
Oh, yes. any messages for the anti-fascists?
Oh, let me see. The anti-fascists, we say, do not submit, ever. And there's no surrender, ever.
I would also like to give you the privilege, Kel, that I'll be including this show in my speech tomorrow.
What? Are you doing a speech?
Yeah, I'll start my speech.
Yay!
I'll just say last night I was speaking to Kel of Red Fox Blogger on blogtalkradio.com.
Okay.
Canada.
Yay. Well, you are so popular. in Canada and the United States. You really make an impact for us in North America because, Tommy, we need spokespersons like you that call into these radio programs and keep us apprised as to what is going on. We are feeling a little rudderless some days, and it's nice to not only listen to Jeff's program, the East Anglian EDL radio show, but it's nice to have people call in from England, from Europe, and do keep us apprised as to what's going on over there. And I want you to share, where is that demo going on tomorrow or today in your time?
Shotton. It's just... it's near Middlesbrough. There's 3 Shottons in the country, guys, so don't get confused. It's in the northeast. If you go just below Newcastle on Google Maps, you'll find it. Or just type in Shotton Colliery. I'll spell that out for you now, because it is a bit of a weird spelling. I'll just find that for you. There we go. Shotton is Shotton, space Collier.
And ladies and gentlemen, there is no reason, if you are in that area, there is no reason for you not to be there. Support the demo and be there and make your
voice
heard.
That's the EDL demo, not the other demo.
There you
going.
Go. Well, I'm going to talk to you on Sunday and get the debriefing for how it goes later on today, Tommy.
Yeah. And for those of you who wish to know which route I'm taking, I'm going from Kingston upon Hull, through Beverley, through York, then up to Harrogate, through Swindon, Northallerton, Richmond, Durham, then we shall arrive. Apparently the North East lot are looking forward to having me, according to their
aura.
Oh,
boy. Oh, lovely.
just gone.
That's all you need is more. Yeah, that's all you need is another bounty on your head.
Yeah.
And I hate that phrase, bounty on your head, bounty on your beheaded.
Well, it's like they say to me all the time, we want to stone gaze. I'm like, oh, sorry, I don't smoke drugs, mate.
Gosh, God love you.
It's little witty
you
things
just
like that.
Wrapped it up beautifully. Aww.
Well, the thing is, though, they want an argument. They want to argue. You just come back with something. We want to stone gaze. Sorry, I don't smoke drugs. We want to hang gaze. You know, oh, well, dear, that's nice. You know, just don't just say, oh, dear, that's nice.
Yeah, they're going to have to rip through the EDL mama here. Like, yeah, good luck with all that.
Well, it's like at Doncaster says, oh, you're a racist. All right. Yeah, I'm not a racist because that's what they want you to do. I said, all right. You just ignore them. Just go, all right. Because that's what they want to provoke you because they know. I mean, because the tension bends inside of you. You know when you get that voice in your head, just turn around and smack this horrible Islamization, paedophile supporting person, this traitor to the country, someone who was breathes the air and walks on the land that thousands and thousands of people fought to defend. It's awful, guys, because the battle that we're fighting, it's not a political battle. It's not fought by the ballot box. It's fought on the streets. It's fought by winning the people over onto your side. And you've got these people who say, oh, yes, we will support the NHS. We will do something about all these horrible Muslims. Oh, yeah, we do. Then when they brought them in, oh, sorry, but they're doing it in the name of terror, not in the name of their religion. And then we come out. We say, well, sorry, but we are the voice of this country. We are the voice of the silent majority, because people do support us. 3 weeks ago, guys, 95% of the country said the EDL raised points that need to be addressed.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you a question. You were featured in the BBC documentary, and that is when quitting the English Defence League, when Tommy met Mo. You were featured prominently in that, and you stood up to Mohammed Ansar, and you addressed him directly, and you said, what about gays in Islam? And you stood up, and you were sporting T-shirt with homosexual men and women that were hanged because it went against the Sharia in Islam. How did you feel when you were addressing this person, this Mo'ansir? How did that make you feel looking him in the eye?
You should have seen his face drop. His face was absolutely unbelievable. Because, I mean, I asked a perfectly simple question. He could not see my shirt from where he was stood. But he avoided the question. He completely avoided it. That's why I stood up and went, well, what about these people in Iran getting hung for being gay? And the thing is, though, if you watch, he's shaking. You can see his hands shaking. He's stuttering. He's panicking because this is all on camera. And then Tommy says to him, well, if you say, well, obviously Islam is homophobic. Oh, Islam is not homophobic. And that was it. We all just started laughing. But looking him straight in the eyes and saying, you do not stand there and tell people that you stand up for gay rights. Because if you don't, I mean, I was quite gutted in air this because I said, as a Muslim, it's your job to kill me, isn't it? Because it says quite clearly in the Hadith, you must throw the homosexuals off the highest mountain. They say, I don't want to throw you off the highest mountain. In that case, you're not a proper Muslim.
Yeah.
You're not doing what the Quran orders you to do. I was quite surprised in air that. I wish they did.
I was rather proud of you because I don't think a lot of people expected to see what was going on and with Mo'ansir. And for you, though, to be in attendance in May and for you to stand up and say, what about this? And you're right, his face fell on the floor. I don't think I've had a more proud moment when I was watching that because you did justice, Tommy.
Yeah, a lot of people said I did. I kept thinking to myself, I bet they won't show it until they said, and the treatment of some homosexuals in Muslim countries were definitely, because I'm like, oh my God, here I come, and that was it. And I got my mum going, there he is, he's there. I had my family ringing me up, you know, Tommy's on TV, and my grandma ringing me up, you're on TV, Tommy.
They're recognising you on the buses.
Yeah, oh my, that was the worst bit. Got on the bus. Oh, you was on that documentary last night. Oh, I saw you on the telly. Oh, thank you. That was it then. Two Muslims got on next stop, saw me and got off again.
and just to let you know, you got a compliment from the chat room, and they said that they want you to be the next leader of the English Defence League.
Oh, not this again. Have I enough of that already?
We're already grooming you.
Well, for those of you who have me on Facebook or Twitter, you would have seen my wall posts of people writing on my wall saying, Tommy, take over, Edie. Tommy, you should be the next Tommy. I'm like, Tommy, take over. Tommy, you'll be the next lead. I'm like, I'm very honest.
You know what? Russ never sleeps, and Tommy, neither do you. You're very vocal in the EDL movement, and this is what we need, is that when 2009, when these Islamic bastards came along and they decided that they were going to denigrate the poppy, we took action, and I mean that in the collective sense, is as a collective, because we are international. Action was taken, and I am forever grateful to Tommy Robinson and Kev Carroll for bringing up this issue and creating a movement in which we have a voice and we belong and we have something to say. And what they did as well, Tommy, is that they carried that torch and they passed it to men like you.
Well, I'm very honored that people would actually think of me as running the organization, but then I thought, well, I'd rather stick in the position where I am. And yeah, I got the arrows right now, but the thing is now, when people say, oh, Tommy and Kev Carroll, all this and that, I mean, yeah, I don't like the fact they've joined Quilliam, but I don't hate them, because after all, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have met such great people like yourself.
Exactly,
like
exactly. That's and that's why I hold, I have my personal issues of umbrage, but one thing I can assure people is that they did introduce the EDL, and for that, I hold them in esteem for doing that, because if it wasn't for them creating the English Defense League, I would not meet fine people like you that fight, and you talk about the scourge, and you bring the issues up, and you say this is affecting England, and I can therefore carry forth and say that this is affecting Canada. We have the Royal Canadian Mounted Police that won't do anything, and we have all these scumbags going off and fighting jihad in their homegrown in Canada or the United States or in England. And Jan England from the Christian Defense League, God bless her, she sent this to me, and I was flabbergasted by the information that she had shared with me. It was like unreal. We have to combat, and we have to, like, me and gee, Tommy, we never sleep.
You go.
We never sleep. Like,
no, we
Tommy,
don't.
Like people like myself and people like Tommy, we don't sleep. We never sleep because Islam never catches us a break, right, Tommy?
Exactly. I'll sleep with one eye open, waiting for the sirens to go off. And that's when I know that the war has really kicked off. It's reached its next stage, and that's when it now becomes a violent jihad. The thing is, though, we have our own jihad. We have our holy war, and that's a fight for our Judeo-Christian heritage. That's our
mm-hmm.
jihad. Except we're not going to go around shouting Judeo-Christian Akbar and all that. I mean, like I've always said, I'm gonna open up a cafe, call it Allah Snack Bar. Well, the thing is, though, something for your American listeners, something that the EDL was a bit stunned to learn the other day, that somebody, my good mate Martin in Lancashire Division,
oh yeah,
was actually a paramedic during the 7/7 bombings, and he actually saved 5 people's lives from the underground.
That is interesting.
There's an article going out. I'll find it for you for Sunday's show, guys. My good mate Martin was one of the first responders on 7/7 who had to go into the underground and get people out. So then we all joined the EDL for our own reasons. But he has witnessed violent jihad. He has seen it. He has smelt it. He's heard
yeah.
it. We've only seen it, but he's experienced it. And to be honest, guys, we've only found this out couple of days ago. So when I found this out, I rung him and he said he wanted to keep it to himself, but it's come out now. But do you know what? He said it was that awful. He's gone through therapy. He's gone through his drinking stage, depression.
That's really upsetting. And you know what, Tommy? I really want to address that on another program, and I really hope that you join me for that. I want to talk about that issue in particular, about the depression, because when our soldiers come home from, it's post-traumatic stress syndrome. But, like, how do they really deal in everyday life? Like, they're thrust back. I was talking with Hold Your Awakens, brought this up on his show one day, and he made perfect sense in that he said, back then they had 2 weeks, i.e. World War II veterans, they had about 2 weeks to decompress, but now today they come back on a plane and they're thrust into civilian life in 5 hours.
It's absolutely
so it's
awful. It's
yeah.
awful the way the trip these. So I mean, you see a lot of. I mean, I see a lot of them now. I go to work. A lot of them, you know, need money for food, need money for shelter, living in boxes, living in sleeping bags under like an inside door where you got to go into a little passageway to get to a door. They're all living in there. And you think about people who've served. I mean, a lot of them. Probably in the late 20s, come out with the medals and the uniform on. no money, no food, no job. It's awful and it breaks my heart, you know what I mean? Because there used to be a time every time British soldiers came back, you know, from the war, massive parades, Union Jacks flying, you have the Queen coming out, you have Churchill coming out, thousands of people. Then as soon as the war was over, that was it, time to relax, go back to the original work. These days you join the army, you do your tour of duty, you get maybe done, you get kicked out. No job, no money, nowhere to support your family, living on the streets.
Exactly.
Disgusting.
Exactly.
I'm not really that. I was soldiers got arrested. I was soldiers getting arrested by the British police.
I have been in such awe of you tonight because you are one of the best spokespersons for the English Defense League, and the premise of the show was indeed the Western nations that are exporting more Shahids, or the martyrs, as they prefer to be called. Where are you going to be today? Again, remind everybody, there is a demo. Tommy?
Shotford.
There you go. And we are going to be listening to your dulcet tones on the East Anglian EDL radio show on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's 8:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Right, Tommy?
That's right.
And there you go. Tommy, I want to thank you so very much for calling into my humble show. It is an honor always to speak with you because you are an inspiration to us. You're a young lad out there, and you are talking. Well, I can't call you a young lad anymore because you turned 20 this week.
Yeah.
So you're a young man. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
well, you're
no.
There you go. I want to play something for you here. Here, I don't know if I can find it because my chat room is just such a mess. Oh, and by the way, Tommy, can you and Jeff do something about the studio? There's coffee cups and ashtrays all over the place.
Oh, what can I say? That's Tim. That cat's taking over my studio.
Here, I found this for you, Tommy.
He just
you will
around.
Survive. Okay, Tommy's never going to show up on my show again, ever. No, but you are. You are an inspiration, truly. We in North America, we appreciate what England and the UK and Europe in general, what they're undergoing with the scourge. We hear voices like yours, and you are such an inspiration, and I'm using that word. I think I've used that 5 times tonight, but that's okay, folks. Just ignore it. You bolster us. If England has voices like yours, then the United States and Canada, there's no reason why we cannot. Tommy, I really want to thank you, and I want to wish you the best on the demo tomorrow. And I really am looking forward to listening to you on the East Anglian EDL radio show on Sunday.
Oh, bless you. Do you want to take a guess what time it is now?
Oh, for goodness sake. 8, 9, 10, 11. It's going on for 2 a.m. your time, son.
Yeah, nearly 5 to 2. 53.
Go to sleepies. You have to be awake at 7.
I know. This is it, guys. This is demo fever. You can't sleep. That's the thing. I don't even feel tired now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I know about the demo fever. That's true, Tommy. I know all about that. Yeah. I am, though, going to close out this show. And I want to thank Tommy English of EDL Radio and the division leader He is an RO, and he is going off to a demo tomorrow. This man is a young man. This man is indicative of our future. This man speaks about the issues of Islam, and this man is an effective voice for the English Defense League. As you know, I produce for that program with Jeff Mitchell, and I'm proud to do that. I'm very, very proud to be aligned with EDL Radio. This is very important. I'm also very proud to be espousing the virtues of the Radio Jihad Network and those seven hosts 7 days a week. We can share our collective voices, and we can bring to you what is going on within the realm of Islam. You have to be aware that there is a threat out there. It's called mass Islamity, and we are here to stop the insanity. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for joining me tonight at the Red Fox Blogger. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I will be back on Monday with my show, my Monday show. As you know, you can hear it at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And my guest will be Mr. Charles Scott Brown, who is a World War II veteran, and he landed on Sword Beach on June 6, 1944. We are going to commemorate Remembrance Day with this gentleman. Be here for that. Ladies and gentlemen, do have a wonderful evening. And once again, thank you for joining the Red Fox Blogger. ¶¶